Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm looking at this picture. The Savannah Bananas are coming to town. They've sold out PNC Park consecutive nights. I'm looking at the 11-foot-tall hitter hitting on stilts. How does this person have a strike zone limits? What is the strike zone? Their ankles to where? I mean, this is unbelievable. The whole thing is unbelievable to me. Like I've said a couple times over the last couple days, I had no idea that this was this popular. Are you kidding me? Two straight sellouts, tickets going for hundreds and hundreds of dollars on the secondary market. The Bananas have amassed over 10 million followers on TikTok. They're selling out football and Major League Baseball stadiums. They just played to a sellout at Clemson Stadium. Their YouTube videos have garnered more. I'm reading right out of a Post-Gazette story, by the way. Garnered more than a billion combined views. I've never seen a game. I've seen some clips. Let me tell you about some things that are happening before we get to a local player who's going to be in these games on Friday and Saturday. Limits, you tell me if you like this rule. You ready?
All right, let's hear it.
Stepping out of the batter's box is a strike and bunting is banned. If a hitter bunts, he's ejected.
I actually kind of like that, especially stepping out of the batter's box.
Batters can steal first base on any pitch, especially a wild pitch or a pass ball, and there are no walks.
Now, how does that work?
I don't know. We can ask our next guest coming up here. Mound visits not allowed, and here's my favorite one, and this is brilliant. Because we just had Mark Cabali on yesterday, and he said his kids are just, you know, so excited to see this. What's more exciting than catching a foul ball, right? I'm convinced if you told, you know, 20,000 baseball fans or just people, forget about baseball fans, hey, you can come to the ballpark tomorrow night. We're going to hit bunches of foul balls, and you can catch them. $10 each, $20 each. They'd show up. We all love that. This takes it to a new level here.
Oh, a huge new level.
When fans catch a foul ball, it counts as an out. So you're literally part of the game.
Yeah, you are.
And these are, despite all the antics and fun, they're actually competitive games that the Bananas sometimes lose. So the whole thing is completely amazing to me. Let's bring on Ryan Cox from Hopewell. He's the team's shortstop and the all-time leader in trick plays. Ryan, thanks for joining us, man. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course. You're on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Yourself and Alex Ziegler, a Butler native, Butler High School grad, and he balances a bat on his face, and among other tricks. How did you get involved with this, and was it already big when you did, Ryan, or has it just taken off recently? You're talking to somebody, maybe this is a good thing, who has no idea what you guys are all about.
So when I got done playing here in Washington with the Wild Things, I had wanted to coach, so I started making baseball content for kids to try to learn online because they're spending a lot of time on their phones or on YouTube. And Jesse saw a video of me doing what is now trick plays and sent me my tryout invite.
Who did
they
that?
Had begun. Jesse Cole.
Who's that?
That's our owner.
Okay.
And so when we first started, they had already done some of these fun antics in Collegiate Summer Bowl in the Coastal Plains League. So they're adding fun stuff into regular baseball. But when I got down there, it was the second or third time that they had started doing banana ball. So being a part of some of the inaugural tours and seeing it grow from minor league stadiums to big league stadiums and, you know, played in some football fields this year has been really incredible.
How big were the crowds, Ryan, when you started? And what do you think the key is to all this? What are people captivated by?
When we first started, it was, you know, the good minor league ballparks, 5,000, 7,000, maybe 10,000. And we worked our way up to 81,000 fans here at Clemson Football Stadium this year, which was insane for one game. But I think the biggest thing that people relate to when you come to the ballpark is being your best inner child. Whether you're a young kid or, you know, you're a parent or grandparent, when you come to the ballpark, you just get to put all the worldly stuff aside and listen to the music and have fun, watch guys perform, watch some tricks on a baseball field you've never seen. I think our outfielders are the most talented people we got, being able to catch a ball, doing a backflip, and just adding fun to a show where we all love baseball. Now let's put that energy and put that fun into it, and fans really seem to connect with it.
Ryan, I'm curious, with the trick plays, how do you make sure that you perfect your craft, make sure they work to perfection, and what happens if there's an occasion where they don't? How do you try to play it off?
So that's been a learning point, but when I was going through my young baseball career, I had a lot of fun practicing on my own. So after I did the normal reps, you'd always try to add something in for fun. Jack Wilson's my favorite player, and he'd jump and he'd catch that line drive and he'd end up turning backwards. Or Brandon Phillips, Brandon Crawford, they do some cool flips. So being able to add basketball into it, which is a lot of the moves I do, dribbling the ball or, you know, going between my legs, has been a real fun challenge. We've got a pretty down pat, but just like everything, you make errors. I mean, baseball players make errors. I still think my trick play percentage is, you know, definitely over 900 as far as execution. And I think it's a good example for kids to see, too. If I do fail, like, you're not putting your head down. You're right into the next play. You're ready for the next pitch, because sometimes when you make that error, you're afraid of the next play. And here, I'm just ready to rip the next trick.
So basically, the obvious comparison would be to call you guys the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, right?
Yes and no. I heard you saying before, our games are, from a baseball standpoint, not scripted. It's very hard to throw 95 wherever you want it or throw a good breaking ball, and it's definitely very hard to hit a home run every time up to the plate. So you see a bunch of guys really competing for the game. We lose sometimes. We win sometimes. Just being able to add a little bit of flair to the normal baseball moves, whether it's a behind-the-back flip on a double play or, like I said, our outfielders doing something crazy. We do add a little bit of the tricks like the Globetrotters, but we're not playing the Generals.
Is the pay good?
Yeah, they're taking care of us. We like to say that, you know, we're getting taken care of just about the same, if not better, than every minor league baseball player. We get to come to all these cities, interact with these fans, being able to just engage in the community. A lot of times you go to a baseball game and you pray that you get an autograph or a foul ball. And here in Banana Land, it's encouraged. You know, we're going to spend probably more time signing and engaging with the fans than we are on the baseball field. And that's really something that I think the kids enjoy, because it gives them hope. When they go home, it's like, oh, you know, 10 bananas signed my baseball. I should probably go outside and work on my game. Or, you know, I got a photo with my favorite player. And a lot of times you don't get that opportunity.
Ryan Cox from a Raccoon Township native and a Hopewell grad. He is the shortstop and all-time leader in trick plays for the Savannah Bananas. And this thing has just taken off to unbelievable proportions, to where they're selling out PNC Park Friday and Saturday night, and tickets are going for crazy amounts of people wanting to get in. This is truly a phenomenon. Limits?
Your nickname, Ryan, is the Glove Magician. I find it fascinating because you're a Pittsburgh native. What it's going to be like for you being able to hear that over the PA system, standing on the field at PNC Park where you grew up going to games?
Yeah, I always imagined being the successor to Jack Wilson, so... being able to see this ballpark packed out, have, you know, hundreds of my friends and family and kids that I coached in town to see us play this game. Friday night, I'll have a cool walk out where I'll be able to kind of soak in the moment and play some Pittsburgh music and really kind of take in the crowd for, you know, what feels like 25 years of hard work in baseball for me to get to this point. But honestly, just, I think the players that we bring in here, they're some of the best in the world at what they do. And, being able to put on a good show for my friends and family in this city means everything.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find Your Balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some Flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you guys travel, Ryan? And where you stay in nice places? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I flew in a little early. My parents' wedding anniversary was on Sunday, so I got to be home for that. Then ran a couple camps up in the Cranberry-Wexford area. Got to go to Dick's Sporting Goods House of Sport. They got us staying right over the bridge here. We got a beautiful view of the city all around, some good eating. Took my friends up to Mount Washington and the original Primanti Brothers, and really just got to dive into the city culture because everyone I brought up here, Ziggy was here too, but everyone else that we brought up had never been to the city before. So seeing their reaction to the beautiful weather we're having this week and all the cool places to eat, the best view in all of baseball. Like, this is the coolest park that we've been to, especially in my opinion. But just being able to see their reactions to how great this city is one of one.
Now, with more than a billion combined views on YouTube and all the social media and the sellouts, are you starting to become recognized, or could you go to, I don't know, you know, Minneapolis or Boston and walk through a mall completely unrecognized still?
I think I could get away with it. The only thing, I dye my hair every so often, so I'll have a crazy hairstyle. Right now I have the Steelers logo in there.
Yes.
For being at home. So sometimes that tips it off. But our big guys, we got a lot of guys with massive social media following. My best friend Jackson plays second base for us. He has 2 million on TikTok. He gets recognized everywhere he goes. Our third baseman, KJ, he's just out of this world blowing up this year, an incredible human being. He gets recognized. Coach Rack gets recognized. So it's getting to a point where it's becoming pretty cool going through the airport or going to the grocery store. But I did have a really cool moment. I went to golf out in Rolling Acres in Beaver Falls with my high school friend. And I was walking past the putting green, and some guy goes, "Hey, you play on the Savannah Bananas." So that was pretty cool being back in my hometown, and some people that I haven't met before had been paying attention to what we're doing.
This has been a really quick rise for the Bananas over the last 4 or 5 years, Ryan. What do you think's next? How far can this thing go?
We like to say we're going to take it to the moon. Jesse is such an inspiration in the way that we go about our business of trying to give fans a great experience. I think as long as we continue to put the fans first, we can take it to wherever we want, whether it's maybe coming back and playing over across the street at the Steelers Stadium next year and then coming back to the Pirates Field, or maybe we'll take it international, who knows. But Jesse definitely has a lot of plans for us, and I'm excited to see what he rolls out next year.
I wonder if we get to the point where you guys get a television contract, that type of thing, and also if you're, and maybe you already do you play other teams who play the game the same way you do, or do they all play it straight?
So we have a 4-team league that all play the same way. Party Animals, Firefighters, and Tailgaters are the three other teams.
Did you say the Party Animals?
Yes, the Party Animals. They like went that on their own headlining tour this year.
I bet
some
they
really
did.
Cool college stadiums, LSU, Mississippi State, to name a few. But all play by the same rules. All are trying to rip trick plays. They have their own walk-ups. We're really, really building the league out. And then next year we'll have 2 more teams join the league. So we'll have 6 teams total. And the goal is to create this Banana Ball League where we can take our show all over the country. So one weekend, the Bananas may be playing another team in this city. The Party Animals are in this city. The Tailgaters are in this city. And more fans are getting to come to the ballpark than they would before.
Is there a lot of competition? Do they have tryouts every year? Is everybody's job pretty much safe? What's the deal with all that? There got to be people who really want to play.
Yeah, so when I first started, tryouts were a little more open. Lot bigger. Now it's a very private invite. We've hosted events in Vanderbilt. We had a tryout down there this year. We had a tryout in Arizona. We may have a tryout in California. So they're putting tryouts out all over the country. Our coaches are going out and scouting, whether it's guys right out of college, guys coming out of indie ball, pro ball. We got some really talented people. The Party Animals have a former first round draft pick on their team. One of my teammates spent almost a 10-year with the Rockies and their minor league system. You know, you got guys throwing mid to upper 90s. You got guys who can hit balls 450 feet. I mean, really true baseball players that just missed their shot at the big leagues but have really found a great home here in Banana Ball.
Ryan Cox, Hopewell grad. A couple more minutes with him as we get ready for the Savannah Bananas in front of two sold-out crowds at PNC Park Friday and Saturday night. You mentioned true baseball players. Here's my question, and I hope I phrase it the right way here. There are a lot of baseball purists out there. I'm sure people in Major League Baseball take note when you guys sell out their stadiums when sometimes their own teams don't. First, do you have any mixed feelings about playing this kind of baseball? Are you a baseball purist of any kind? And do you hear criticism from baseball purists, Ryan?
Yeah, I would like to say I grew up a very true baseball purist. I mean, we're driving to my tournament and we're listening, you know, to the Pirates game on the radio. My dad, through and through, he was there for the We Are Family teams. And we really, still in our heart, in our purest, we grew up on baseball traditionalism. So when we come to these parks, we're really respecting the history and the tradition. We've had the opportunity to bring out former MLB guys to come play with us in their cities and watch them get the ovation they deserved for what they did. In a market like Pittsburgh, you're playing 81 games at home. So it's kind of an unfair comparison to say, hey, you know, we sold out these two nights and, you know, these guys aren't selling out every game, where, you know, we only have two opportunities to be here. So it's a blessing to be able to pack it out. But yeah, baseball purists, especially in the beginning, had a lot to say. With, you know, the rules or dancing on the baseball field or doing things that, you know, your coach would tell you to knock off if you were at practice. But in reality, we're all just kids playing the game. Like, this is the best version of the outdoor wiffle ball that we're playing, and we just get to do it in front of a sold-out crowd. So as we continue to go, while we hear the baseball purists, and obviously we want to respect all tradition, we are very happy in our own lane, and we watch some of those baseball purists hop on board. And really, after they've seen the show and seen the talent, the work that we put in, have accepted Banana Ball and accepted as a part to help the kids grow the game.
What do you sense Major League Baseball thinks of all this? That you guys are something, at least in small ways, to copy? Do they consider you competition in some way? What about all that?
I know Jesse and them, like, they've had good conversations before. We've had like cool crossover moments. I think our best view is being able to exist in both worlds. We know that the professionalism of Major League Baseball is something that even now in the clubhouse, you know, we're watching baseball every day. We're paying attention to our favorite teams. You know, we're watching this postseason stretch. You know, we care about the All-Star game. You have guys who will go to the Derby and go to the All-Star game and support. So the best thing I think we can be is, in the city of bridges, be a bridge to connect all aspects of baseball, where it's like, yeah, I might love Paul Skeens and the Pirates, but when I go outside and have fun, like, I'm practicing being a banana. Because at 14 years old, you're not a professional. You know, as much as you want to be Paul Skeens, you still gotta to fall in love with the game. So I think being a bridge to connect young fans to the sport that we all love is ideal.
Well, we have you mentioned wiffle ball. My friend here, Austin Bechtold, runs his own wiffle ball league. He's a hell of a wiffle ball player. Limits, I wonder if you could get a tryout out of this.
Yes? I'd love to know. We actually played our All-Star game at Wild Things Park this year, Ryan.
That's a cool thing. We had a guy that came in from wiffle ball, and he came in, joined one of the Banana Ball teams here, and you know, has brought some of the pitching styles and the fun that he found in wiffle ball too here. So, I mean, it's always a possibility. We've had guys come from, you know, pure baseball backgrounds to other sports skills. We got guys who have acrobatic talents. Best thing is just, you know, send that message to them. Look for that tryout invite and just keep posting videos. I think a lot of times you get content seen online and sometimes that'll spark a tryout invite.
Are they looking for a very average athlete that also can double as a broadcaster and can talk pretty well?
There you go. I like that.
You never know around here. We have all walks of the show. We have players that do on-field promotions and microphone stuff, crowd work. Our broadcast team is built of a bunch of guys who, bananas, they worked at MLB Network prior. We got some guys from the Big 12 scene. We have a bunch of our announcers really have a character in themselves. So being able to broadcast and come in and pitch, I think you might be able to find a spot.
Unbelievable. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us, and I know people are very fired up to see this weekend, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.